This episode of The Drive with Lante and Derek Piper is brought to you by Two Men in a Truck, movers who care. Visit them online at twomenchampagne.com for a free estimate.
The Drive, Lante. No Derek Piper today. It took two, though, to replace him. He has the audacity to be on a plane right now flying to Arizona. Not fun, but sitting in for Derek today, Austin Berkland. You hear him in the morning on the Jeremy Warner Show. How are you, sir?
I'm doing well. Is Derek going to have a drink with Lucas or anything?
I talked to Lucas today. Well, let me get to that.
Okay.
Isaac Trotter, also in studio. How are you, Isaac?
Doing well. I really now want to hear this end of this story about Lucas and Derek. I mean, Derek ran into D. Brown today up in Chicago, and now he's going to run into the famous Lucas Tay.
Don't you hate when you say that's what I heard? I didn't actually hear that. I saw it
that's
on
right.
Twitter, so that's what I saw. I guess we're accustomed now in the American English language to just say, oh, that's what I heard. No, first of all, Lucas can't drink. He's not 21.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Correct. So that's the political answer. Number two,
he's going to have maybe a hot dog with Derek Piper.
Yeah, exactly. He'll have one of those Shirley Temples while Pipes is having a cold one. So the other thing, to be honest, is he either has, I think he's got strep throat.
Oh, no.
So I just talked to him maybe less than 45 minutes ago, and he sounded like death warmed over, you know, one of those. The good news is his mom is flying out for Parents Weekend this weekend out there, which happens to coincide with Illinois being out to play Grand Canyon and also Arizona on Sunday. So I said to him, I'm like, well, if there's ever a time you need your mom, this is it. So that's good for him. And, yeah, so he's not feeling well, and he said it hit like Tuesday, and all he's doing is sleep. And he's like, I got up, took a test today on my computer. I'm like, how nice is that? How nice is it for you kids to just, you don't even have to go to class anymore?
Right.
Like, didn't go to class. I mean, so it's not like anything's changed, but we got penalized. Now you just sit at home in your, you know, boxers and do the tests. That doesn't seem fair to me.
Yeah, I took an online film class, and it was the best thing ever because all you had to do was write papers and watch movies for the class.
Well,
so
my goodness.
All you had to do was just sit there, take the test, watch the movie, and write a paper after the unit was over, and then all of a sudden you're just – yeah, you're great. It's pretty easy.
You probably took that class as serious as any classes you did in college.
Oh, I love that movie class because
I bet you watched every second of those movies.
Yeah, there was Nosferatu.
It
had a vampire. The whole semester was based around vampire movies.
Ooh.
So we started out with Nosferatu, all the 80s vampire flicks when vampires were supposed to be scary, all the way up into Twilight, where Twilight was all about the romanticism of the vampire culture. And it was rather interesting seeing the divide between like 1940s and 2018 on how people view these scary beings of vampires.
This is interesting.
I feel like that's like the Austin Berkland class, right? You know what I mean? Like, this is the class that Austin Berkland would live for.
It was made for him.
right.
That class was designed for Austin and Joe. That was at Southern?
Yes.
Well, I don't think they had that when I was down there.
You had to buy the reels probably by how old you are.
That's right.
Oh, that's cruel. You know what? It was still VHS.
Yes.
I think it was still, I know it was. It was still VHS, so you'd have to go out and get a VHS tape of a movie.
And there wasn't any online class for
that.
Anyway.
Oh, my.
Was there internet back then?
No.
Okay.
No, we didn't have cell phones or internet. Back then, we just got the AP wire. So, like, every 15 minutes, the AP, you'd hear this, you'd be printing up, you know. You'd run over there, you'd tear it off, you'd go do your sportscast, and you'd just go with the scores that were on that. So, it looks like in the second half, Duke is up on Kentucky 48-43. I mean, that was your only update.
Wow.
You know, you couldn't just refresh or any of that stuff. So, then you had to wait 15 minutes, and by then, the game may have been over. So it was funny. It was weird. Now, of course, with local games like Illinois, you can listen on the radio and listen to it. But, yeah, for national things, like, for instance, if I was putting in the very, like in TV even, if I was putting the last scores in of the night before I went on, I waited for the AP wire to spit out the sports update, again, every 15 minutes, and I would take the 10-15 update in and say, all right, here's the deal. So you had most of the finals except the West Coast. You'd be like, all right, the Cardinals are up 5-3 in the seventh at San Diego. The Cubs are up 7-1 at San Francisco in the fifth. And that was your update. So that's when you do your sports. And, you know, people actually watched it back then because that was the way they got their sports. Now you'll notice, like, the local TV channels, they hardly ever cover national stuff. I mean, they will show an occasional highlight, but for the most part, it's local stuff because, you know, even now, I guess a high school football game, you can kind of update as you're going if you know somebody that's there or the IHSA score zone or something's putting the score out. But for the most part, you know, I can watch, I don't need Channel 3, right, to figure out if the Cardinals won.
Right.
Back in the day, a lot of people needed that.
Sports TV has evolved and changed
crazy.
A lot.
Crazy. Yeah, totally crazy. I don't know how we got on that topic, but that's what it was.
Thank you, Austin.
We went from TV. What was your favorite class, Isaac, is your favorite class?
Well, we were talking about just like online classes, and I am a king of online classes. I think it helps me get my work done a whole lot better when I can do it at a specific time. I don't have a favorite online class because I always just trying to get them done as fast as possible. Don't really love school. I'm just there to get my degree. You know what I mean? I try decently hard, get the degree, and get out.
Yep.
But sports journalism class, freshman year, Journalism 199 was hands down my favorite.
That's cool.
Every week we had a sports quiz. Right?
Oh,
come
wow.
in. You get 10 sports questions, and that's your quiz for the week. It was the best quiz of my entire life.
That is awesome.
Funny story about that.
Samba. Was it only sports people in there?
Yeah, it was. It was just a sports nerds class.
Okay, my bad. Okay, go ahead.
But Samba Cain was in that class last year. Samba Cain was asked, who does Illinois basketball play in their first game of the year? He did not know the answer. He said Duke. Illinois was not playing Duke in the first game of the season.
He didn't even guess wisely.
No. Great start, Samba.
Yeah. That's why you're not on the team anymore, Samba. No, I'm kidding. He's not on the team, right?
He is not.
Okay,
he is now at JUCO.
I just all of a sudden, I'm like, wait a minute. I don't think I've heard of him this year. All right, it is The Drive, as mentioned. Coming up at 4:30, we've got
4:45.
I'm sorry, 4:45.
Stephen Brooks covers Michigan State for 24/7. He will join us to break down this Michigan State team that's kind of depleted going into this Saturday's game, and talk a little bit about the Michigan State basketball program, who is ranked really highly right now, and should get interesting takes from Stephen about these two programs.
Austin, you know me. I try to be nice. I usually try to be a nice person, but I'm done with the political niceness of – and here's what I mean.
Okay.
So Michigan State is without their All-American linebacker. They're without their center, and they're without their number one wide receiver, and I'm glad. I'm happy for that. Is that bad?
No.
Well, I mean, in years past, I would have been like, well, that's too bad.
It doesn't matter.
Now I'm like, heck yes, I hope there's four other guys that aren't playing.
How many times has Illinois been on the end of an injury bug, and every team doesn't apologize for Illinois being injured? Now Illinois, with their 5-4 record, their ability to make a bowl game this year, it's about time they have had some injury luck go in their favor.
Amen.
And it's all about taking advantage of it, because none of these injuries mean a thing if Illinois' offense can't put together some drives against this tough Michigan State defense. So you got to take advantage of it, and again, you run into these breaks whenever you go into a bowl game.
And Illinois still injured, obviously.
That's what I was going to say. I was like, you can say Michigan State's injured. Illinois has all of their injury history, too. I mean, Wally Batuku is out the last two games. I think he'll be back. We're not sure yet.
I do, too.
Ricky Smalling is still out with injury. Trayvon Sidney's your starting slot wide receiver. He's out. Jamal Woods is a starting defensive tackle, and he's also started defensive end. He's out as well.
Is he definitely not playing Woods?
We don't know yet.
Okay.
So
these
are all guys that were just out in the last couple of weeks. I think Woods could come back. I think Batuku could come back. I think Smalling could come back at some point. But this week, we don't know. Lovie Smith keeps those really, really under wraps. So we'll know when we get up to Michigan State on Saturday morning. Basically.
I guess the one break for Illinois is with the linebacker being out. You know, that's big at the last minute, essentially. So they haven't had two or three weeks to prepare, let's say, for him being out. And he was the leading tackler. He was all Big Ten, all American, I believe, last year. So this is a guy that, and he's not hurt.
Joe Bacci, yes.
Yeah, Joe Bacci.
He failed a drug test.
Okay, so he is not, this isn't an unfortunate thing for Michigan State with regards to injury. Their center, we all understand, well, actually we don't. I don't think any of us really understand what a center means to an offensive line.
They're the point guard of the offensive line.
But unless you played offensive line and unless you played center, I remember when Fred Wakefield was in one time when he used to come on our show back in the early Tay and Jay days, It was just he and I one day, and I said, I want you to break down the offensive line. And he started laughing. He's like, this is going to be the most boring hour of the show we'll ever have. And you know what? I think it was one of the more interesting hours of the show because I had him break down every spot. I started with center,
yeah.
Then I went to the guards, and then I went to the tackles. And I said, I want you to tell me everything a center does on one play and for a game and leading up to a game. So he broke it down. It was unbelievable radio. He broke it down from the center spot, then he broke down what the left guard and the right guard do. Surprisingly, sometimes they have different things they do going into a game. And then the left tackle, right tackle. You know, obviously we all know the left tackle is one of the higher paid positions in football because you're protecting normally a right-handed quarterback. Obviously, that gets shifted if you have a left-handed quarterback, so then your right tackle becomes so important. But so that center is out for Michigan State, so that's kind of a big deal if you're Michigan State. And I think the only two that may replace him is a true freshman and a redshirt freshman.
Yeah, that's a huge deal. Matt Allen's his name. He's been a really good for them throughout their career. I think, you know, kind of watching film, I think he's their best offensive lineman.
Wow.
So having him out is a big loss. But the real reason why it's a big loss is that Illinois' defensive tackles are playing outstanding football right now. Like, outstanding. Jamal Milan has been terrific as a senior. Tymer Oliver has been really, really good as well. So having this guy out changes the whole impact of everything because now you can have two fifth-year seniors, a fourth-year senior with Tymer Oliver, guys that can beat some people up on the interior, some younger guys. And Michigan State doesn't run the football all that well. And when the Illinois defensive tackles are constantly creating havoc in that interior of the line of scrimmage, now you're seeing Illinois could have a really big advantage here. So I think dominating the line of scrimmage is a huge key for Illinois this weekend, and I think they can on the defensive line. Now the other side of the football, whole different ball game because Michigan State's defensive line is one of the best in the country.
Incredible.
Illinois' offensive line has been good this year. Yep. They'll be challenged on Saturday.
That'll be a fun battle to watch. Last injury, and then we'll move on to kind of specifics of the game, like you just kind of got into. The number one wide receiver for Michigan State is out. Now they already suffer a little bit on offense. With their quarterback is Lewerke.
Yeah, Brian Lewerke.
Brian Lewerke. So they already struggle a little bit, and to take their number one guy out, essentially kind of like Ricky Smalling, although I think most would argue Bebe's been the number one this year, but either way, to take that guy off the field, and by the way, the center and the wide receiver are both injuries, so that is unfortunate for Michigan State. So there's your advantage for Illinois in terms of you're on offense, you know, for Michigan State, you're missing your point guard, as you said, Austin, of the offensive line, and you're missing your top receiver. Now let's get nitty gritty here, and Isaac started to do that. Their running back is a redshirt freshman. He came out and had about, 170, if I remember right,
against Western Michigan.
Since then, he only averages about 67 or so yards a game, if I'm correct on that. I was looking at some of the stats today. So that's not anything enormous. And I know sometimes in the past I would have immediately said, oh, well, guess what? He's going to break out for 150. But the way this Illinois defense is playing is really one of those where I have total confidence that they're going to be able to control that ground game. And I want to ask both of you guys to touch on this. And not only that, Austin, but if you can control that ground game to where you keep that running back right where he's at, let's say at 67 a game, and you keep the rushing of Michigan State around 80. Now, Lewerke can get out and run. He's done that well. But if you can keep them, you know, keep them contained, let's say.
Make them one-dimensional.
Make them one-dimensional, and then all of a sudden they can't. They're losing their number one receiver. Now all of a sudden you gotta feel good defensively going into this.
Yeah, early on in the season, Lovie Smith talked a lot about how they were in the right position, but they just weren't making tackles. I didn't necessarily believe that early on in the season.
Right.
Now it feels schematically, and their tackling ability is both up to standard, up to par, to being a Big Ten defense that can actually win some games. They've not been giving up those huge chunk plays. Jeremy has talked about that a lot. They haven't given up rushes longer than 15 yards in a long time. And I feel like this team is playing really good gap discipline football in the running game with the linebackers and Daley Harding and Jake Hansen. So I feel like this Illini defense can really suffocate this running attack of the Michigan State Spartans because, again, they're schematically really good right now. Lovie Smith has done a great job with this group and the tackling ability from these linebackers and from these defensive tackles at the point of attack has just been spectacular. So I really like this defense against the rushing attack. And then it's all up to these safeties and, sure, and these defensive backs. Sidney Brown has been playing really well. It's great to get Stanley Green back in the fold. And
big
that
time.
Moves Tony Adams to corner, where he's just thrived these past couple of games against Wisconsin and Purdue. So I think this defense is going to surprise this Michigan State offense in a way that they weren't expecting.
Well, it's interesting to think about the way this Illinois defense is viewed throughout the entire offseason. I mean, last year they averaged 39.4 points a game, right?
Yeah.
That's how much you gave up.
Mm.
And remember, throughout the entire offseason, we go, well, if Illinois defensively can get a touchdown better, now we're seeing this offense could be decent,
absolutely,
and now you have a chance to get 5 or 6 wins. Do you know how much better Illinois is? They're 2 touchdowns better.
Are they really?
They're not 1 touchdown better. They're 2 touchdowns,
wow,
better. They're averaging, and they're giving up just 24.8 points a game this year.
Which in college football is amazing.
That will,
right,
play every time.
It's not amazing.
That's
you get what I'm saying.
That's a top 50 scoring defense,
absolutely,
compared to last year when you were 125th in the country.
Wow.
So that's the type of jump you've made as a unit overall. Dale Harding and Jake Hansen have a big part of that. The defensive line play from those defensive tackles, Jamal Milan and Tymir Oliver, are setting up these linebackers to be successful.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that Michigan State's running attack this week, they're solid.
Yep.
Right? Michigan State's solid.
Yes.
Illinois defensively has proven that against a scheme like this, they're really good against scheme like this. We saw it against Wisconsin.
Yeah.
If you could shut down Jonathan Taylor and hold,
right,
him to about 120 yards when he comes in averaging about 210, you can hold down a redshirt freshman that averages just 55 yards a carry against Power 5 opponents.
Back at you, Isaac. I want to ask you about this. I noted to Derek this last week that it seems like these linebackers for Illinois are clean, meaning the defensive line, and you just kind of alluded to it, the defensive line is taking up those offensive linemen to where now the linebackers can come in cleanly and take shots, you know, at either the quarterback or the running back. My question to you is, while that is true, the more I watch these games, and I always rewatch the Illinois games at least twice, the more I watch these, I feel like the linebackers are in the right position. And this goes back to kind of what you said, Austin, with regards to the schematics of it. There's a lot of times where Jake Hansen, Dale Harding, or Milo. Gosh, I always say Milo. That's my thing. I'm going to go Milo.
There you go. Go ahead.
Everybody,
you own that.
Go Milo. Yeah, there you go. I'll own the Milo. So I don't want to make him mad, though, because he is a big dude. But the point is, I know that the defensive linemen are doing their job, and I'm certainly not taking any credit away from them. I think they're playing great, and they're keeping those linebackers clean. But I think you've got to give Lovey and Miles as well,
yeah,
credit for having these linebackers in the right spot, because the last few weeks, especially against Wisconsin, Purdue, you know, was just one of those. But against even Rutgers, there were a couple of plays that they'd sweep outside, and Jake Hansen would be there, or Dele would be there, or Milo, my boy. So, you know, I think you've got to give the coaches some credit for getting these guys in the right spot, and even the linebackers credit for saying, okay, this is what I'm seeing right here. Here's where I need to be.
I think that you've seen the linebackers, their mentality has changed a little bit in the last couple of weeks. It was really easy for teams doing a little bit of play action to get them sucked in really quick, and that little bit of trickery isn't working anymore.
No.
The linebackers are starting to become a lot more better with their reads. Jake Hansen and Dale Harding are playing elite football right now. Pro Football Focus has Jake Hansen as the number one ranked linebacker in the Big Ten.
Wow.
Dale Harding is number 3. And now you add to that, Milo Eifler had his best game of the season. He had 10 tackles, 2.5 tackles for a loss against Rutgers. He's starting to be in the right place at the right time. And he just adds a different element to this defense because he is just a massive, massive hitter. He does a great job of not getting those targeting either. He just goes in with his shoulder,
yep,
and just levels you.
Yeah.
And you talk to the guys on this defense, that absolutely fires this team up. So when you have those 3 guys starting to play some of their best football of the year, that's why your defense is good. And it was funny because throughout training camp and throughout spring ball, I kind of liked the linebackers.
Yeah.
But nobody else really did. I was kind of alone in that. They all kind of, everybody in the media kind of world kind of was on me for that one because they didn't really like him that much because, you know, Jake Hansen, you get so stuck into what you saw last year.
Yeah.
And Jake Hansen just gets abused by tight ends. You know, Dale Harding can't play because his coverage skills aren't great. We got so used to seeing that we used that vision to cloud our minds heading,
yeah,
into this year. And those guys, credit to them and the coaching staff, those guys have gotten a lot better.
They've been
a
good.
Lot better.
They've been good. And look at it like this. Jake Hansen is still a little bit undersized, for a linebacker. It seems like.
Now, a little bit.
Maybe he would look at me and say, well, come on, big boy. Let's see if I'm undersized. I'm going to throw you around like a rag doll. But when you see other linebackers, you look at him and you're like, how does he do that? But yet he does his thing. Eifler, we'd never seen him. Right? I mean, you could watch tape in Washington, but we didn't know much about him.
He barely played defense for Washington,
and
right?
And Dale Harding was the captain of the special teams last year. So now as a senior, he gets his chance at linebacker. So you could understand why going into the season, maybe we hoped, because these are names you knew. You knew Dale, mm-hmm. You knew Eifler because you'd heard about him coming over. You were excited about a transfer. We get excited about anybody that transfers. And then Jake Hansen, you saw what he could do, and you felt like he could be a really good linebacker. So it's one of those where a lot of those guys kind of unknown going into this year, and they've proven themselves,
yeah,
which is great.
And I think it comes from a little bit of a nastiness in playing with an edge. Dale Harding is a nice guy off the field. He plays nasty on the field. Milo Eifler is a great soft-spoken guy off the field. He plays nasty on the field. And Jake Hansen especially.
Yeah.
He is the one that he might be a little bit undersized, but he uses stuff like that.
Amen.
And he is very much aware of what people think about him. And he's playing with an edge. And that's giving this entire defense an edge. So when you see all of these upperclassmen start to finally play like upperclassmen, and for this whole Lovey Ball to click.
Yep.
I mean, Illinois is leading the country in turnovers, and they're leading the country or second in the country in points off those turnovers.
Yep.
It's clicking. It's clicking. It's about time because they're 3 or 4 years into this.
And two of those guys are back next year. Eifler and Hansen both back next year. And by the way, if that makes Jake mad and he plays better, Jake, you're undersized. You are undersized, dude.
I mean, you look at how Jake talks with the media after games where you just feel like, man, this guy has a huge edge on him, and he's going to
chip
use
on his
that,
shoulder.
Yeah, in the next
That's
game.
Awesome.
And there's a reason why he had the cigarette. It's not cigarette. Cigar.
Yeah.
Pardon me.
Much better than a cigarette.
Yes. After the Wisconsin game, ready to celebrate, because it was just like, yes, we knew we were this good, and now it's time to celebrate after a win. So, yeah, these linebackers, we talk about how progression isn't linear in baseball. Mm-hmm. I've used that term a lot talking about the Chicago Cubs.
Cool.
This group, it seems like halfway through the year has just been just shot up to the progression level. So it's just been fun to watch these guys play at an elite level in Big Ten play.
Look, I don't smoke. But isn't it funny how the cigarette is looked at as a bad thing? Like, if Jake Hansen would have had a cigarette after that,
like, are you kidding me?
What is wrong with him? That's a terrible thing to show the youth.
That is cancer, man.
Instead, he's sitting there smoking smoking. He's just holding a cigar, and then we're like, oh, well, that's prestigious.
Look at him.
Yeah.
That's fancy.
Whoa.
Are you going
hunting after this?
All right, I got to say one thing, though. This defense can keep Illinois in the game on Saturday.
Yes.
But they are not going to win it unless this offense comes to play. Defense has bailed them out often. The offense needs to go win them a game.
That's funny, because that's what I want to hit on next. When we come back here on The Drive, it's Isaac Trotter, Austin Berkland, Lante. I want to talk a little bit about the offensive side of the ball. What does Illinois need to do, not only against Michigan State, but the last three games to make sure that this team gets to a bowl game? Again, coming up at 9:45, I'll be in bed.
Yes.
So coming up at 9:45, I'll be asleep, but at 4:45, see, I was looking like Japan time.
That's right.
Yeah.
If that's even
there's some time in the world. Somewhere in the world, it's 9:45.
They're 5 hours ahead of us. Who is it again? I apologize.
Stephen Brooks covers Michigan State for 24/7.
Okay. I'm going to write that down now. So Stephen Brooks at 4:45 to get nitty gritty on Michigan State. Good stuff. If you want to weigh in, 359-2255.
This episode of The Drive with Lante and Derek Piper is brought to you by Two Men in a Truck, movers who care. Visit them online at twomenchampagne.com for a free estimate.
Drive.
An ESPN Radio Extra Point with Mike Golic, Trey Wingo, and Jason Fitz.
We can care about it because it was a landmark matchup. We can care about it because there were big brands. We can care about it because the game's on ESPN. But at the end of the day, it doesn't matter to what he's really there to do. And he was paid $100 million to win a championship for the Clippers. Yep. And that is all that the Clippers organization is worried about. That's all they should be worried about. And if it means he misses a bunch of these games, are Clippers fans going to care if they're actually relevant in the Western Conference Finals and the NBA Finals? No.
You know, when we talk about baseball at the end of the year, whoever you put in, football, if you rest guys at the end of the year before the playoffs, every team, every organization has to do what they feel is right, that's right for their team.
Correct.
And if it's to sit Kawhi, and oh, by the way, gang, get ready, because the same thing's going to happen with Paul George when he comes back off of an injury,
shoulder
load management deal that's going to be going on, because they want to win a championship.
Hear more from Golic and Wingo tomorrow morning on ESPN Radio.
Whether you're on the construction site or in the office managing properties, Lowe's saves pros of all trades on what you need to get the job done right. Power through the job for $150 less with a Bosch 10-inch 15-amp table saw featuring a carbide tip blade, now just $449. And load up on appliance savings with up to 40% off select appliance special values. For even more ways Lowe's can save your business money, stop in and meet your dedicated pro team today. Do it right for less. Start with Lowe's. Appliance offer valid through 12-5. Bosch offer valid through 11-13 U.S. only.
Trade Pros, whether you specialize in service or new construction, Ferguson knows firsthand how much work goes into a long day on the job, which is why we're committed to offering the products and solutions to get every job done right. With over 1,000 locations, an unmatched selection of specialty products, tools, and supplies, our pro pickup and same or next day delivery, you can trust that doing business with Ferguson will be the easiest part of your hard day's work. Visit Ferguson.com to find a counter location near you.
Do you know someone who's served in the military? Honor them by taking them out to lunch and enjoying a program at the Hilton Garden Inn on Monday, Veterans Day, the 11th. Doors open at 11. Everything starts at 11:30 with the Unity Banner Singers and a flag ceremony. Keynote speaker being Pete Milinkovic. Sign up now as you click on this year's event at VeteransDayOneOnOne.com. It's $20. The Hilton Garden Inn, Monday, Veterans Day, with doors opening at 11. Veterans Day, OneOnOne.com.
At AutoZone, we're all about giving you more ways to get the most out of your ride, no matter the road. With our free AutoZone Loan-A-Tool program, you can choose from over 100 specialty tools, borrow the one you need, and get the job done right, all while saving precious time and money. And you can save even more with our great deals, like 5 quarts of Pennzoil high-mileage motor oil and an STP oil filter for just $28.99. Visit us at AutoZone.com and start your job fast. Deposit required. Restrictions apply.
Get in the zone. AutoZone.
It's time for some straight talk. You know those football players who are all talk, no show? Well, big wireless carriers aren't much different. Well, Straight Talk Wireless doesn't give you the hype, just the savings. For just $45 a month, you'll get the unlimited plan with 25 gigs of high-speed data, then 2G. No contract. All on the same 4G LTE networks as the big guys, but up to half the cost. Savings delivered right to your wallet. Only at Walmart. Savings may vary. See terms and conditions at straighttalk.com.
At AutoZone, we're all about giving you more ways to get the most out of your ride, no matter the road. With our free AutoZone Loan-A-Tool program, you can choose from over 100 specialty tools, borrow the one you need, and get the job done right, all while saving precious time and money. And you can save even more with our great deals, like 5 quarts of Pennzoil high-mileage motor oil and an STP oil filter for just $28.99. Visit us at AutoZone.com and start your job fast. Deposit required. Restrictions apply.
Get in the zone. AutoZone.
It's time for some straight talk. You know those football players who are all talk, no show? Well, big wireless carriers aren't much different. Well, Straight Talk Wireless doesn't give you the hype, just the savings. For just $45 a month, you'll get the unlimited plan with 25 gigs of high-speed data, then 2G. No contract. All on the same 4G LTE networks as the big guys, but up to half the cost. Savings delivered right to your wallet. Only at Walmart. Savings may vary. See terms and conditions at straighttalk.com.
Hi, I'm Habib Habib. This year's Live to Lead was the best one ever. So we're hosting an encore presentation of the exact same program on Tuesday, December 10th at 8 a.m. and 5 p.m. at the iHotel. John Maxwell, Angela Arendt, Marcus Buckingham of Strength Finder, Chris Hogan, and Rachel Hollis of Girl Wash Your Face. They rock the house. Don't miss this opportunity. Bring your team, bring your spouse, bring a friend. It'll be an amazing program that you won't forget. Buy your tickets at HabibHabib.com.
Miniman Press has such a great variety of holiday cards they can do for us, and right now you can save 10%.
What I like about the end of the year cards done by Miniman Press is the variety to choose from to really reflect how grateful we are to do business with these clients.
Holiday cards at Miniman Press. Move on the 10% off deal now and get your business set for the holiday season. Stop by at 905 South Neal in Champaign, call 355-0500 or visit cuprinting.com.
Stop and smell the roses in life with technology, the hustle and bustle of life, or just stress. So many factors can make life less enjoyable. Blossom Basket Florists can help take some of the stress away and make you feel better with a bouquet of their flowers in your home. The fresh smells and the vibrant colors of their flowers can put your mind at ease. It's the small wins in life that make the world a better place for each individual. So head online to blossombasket.com and place your order today.
Hey, Joe, you got that spreadsheet for me?
Yeah, 1 second, Larry. Let me pull it up. Where'd it go?
Hey, I'm going to need that spreadsheet ASAP, Joe.
Yeah. Sure, Larry. Just 1 second. It's gone. Everything's gone. My emails, my spreadsheets, my fantasy football league.
This is Joe. Don't be like Joe. Give Area-Wide Technologies in Champaign a call at 359-8041. They'll make sure your work setup is secure and running smoothly. Then you won't be in a situation like Joe.
It is The Drive, ESPN Radio 93.5. Lonte, no Derek Piper. He is en route. He may be there by now.
He's kind of a flight is that?
It's only three and a half,
depending on the tailwind. Seems quicker coming back. Doesn't everything just seem quicker coming back? Like you fly down to Grand Cayman, and it takes you 58 hours, and then coming back, it's like two.
I disagree. I think going there with the excitement built in, it seems quicker to get
really?
There. But whenever you're just dreading it, like that
yeah.
flight seems just, or that travel back, because I've never flown before.
Right.
Wait, whoa, we need to fix that.
You haven't flown before?
Never been in an airplane.
Man. Okay, well, we're going to get you out, because we had to get Carp fixed, and he did. When almost it sounds like a dog. Like we had to get Carp fixed. But Carp had never flown, and then he flew. And now we got to get you on a plane.
Right. My family was always way too scared to fly whenever yeah. I was a kid. So we drove to Texas, drove to Florida, drove everywhere.
I totally get that. I mean, I've been fortunate. I've just flown all over. But I get that people are scared. And you even know the stats. Like, the stats are ridiculous with regards to the safety of a plane as opposed to driving. I mean, it's not even close.
Yeah, my mom flew on her first flight to Texas this past fall. Or this fall, so.
Did she survive?
Yeah, she survived.
She flies every day.
It was the pilot's first ever flight, too.
Oh, no.
And the stewardess told my mom that after they landed.
Oh,
thankfully.
Wow, thank you. Yeah. Wouldn't that be funny if your mom now goes to the airport every day and just boards a plane? She's like, I like doing this.
Yeah, my first flight might be next year. I'm going to Hawaii
for
a wedding.
Yeah, you're
going
to have to fly.
I was going to say, you can't drive across the ocean.
I can't take a ferry or something.
You just see Austin in a kayak just cruising out in the Pacific.
Hey, you could, it's almost like an Uber or whatever. Don't they do it with cars?
Yeah.
Probably you could Uber somebody on a boat and they'd take you there, I guess, but it'd be pretty expensive.
You may be created the next billion-dollar app.
Boom.
Boat Uber.
Oh, how fun would. I know down in like, in Naples and Marco Island, you can board a boat and go to Key West.
I agree. I've done that.
And you've done it. Okay.
Yes.
And I've never done it. I want to do it. And it's one of those where it'd be even better if you could just take a case of beer on there with you, but you have to pay for their prices.
At that point, I was 17, so I couldn't really get on.
That really wasn't an Isaac problem.
That wasn't.
No, because if I'm going to be out traveling, you know, from Naples to Key West on a nice day on the water, I'm going to have a cold beer.
Right.
But the problem is it's probably $9 a beer on that, so I guess I'll have to just take cash. All right, it's The Drive. We talked about the Illinois defense and what it could do against Michigan State, kind of broke all that down. We need to get out of here quick with regards to having a guest coming up at 4:45. But let's talk a little bit about this Illinois offense. Has Brandon Peters been good enough, Isaac, the last three or four games to give you the confidence to know that he can go on a road at East Lansing and win a game?
No.
Okay.
Not at all. I mean, that's the easy answer. I mean, you've played five Big Ten games. He has not completed double-digit passes in each of the five games.
Okay.
So that's kind of where you're at. So 18 completions in the last three games just isn't good enough, which is why this is such a monster game for
him.
He's done everything you needed him to do to win these last three games. He made a couple big plays against Wisconsin in that fourth quarter. The touchdown throw to Josh Amatabebe was big. The third down conversion to Daniel Barker was big. So he made a couple throws. But overall, you're going to need a guy to really string something together if you want to have a big day against this Michigan State defense, who is good against the run, but they struggle sometimes against the pass. The problem is that Illinois's not done an awesome job in their pass protection. They're last in the Big Ten in sacks given up.
Right.
It's not all the offensive line. Sometimes it's others. And Brandon Peters has held on the ball a little bit too long at times, too. So it could be a little bit tough.
It's almost, Austin, it's almost funny that last year, Reggie Corbin ran for 1,000 yards, and you had the indication, oh, we can run on anybody.
Yeah.
this year, not only is Reggie running well, about 500 or 600 yards, Dre Brown's running well. I'm not sure where he's at, 400 or 500 yards as well. But it almost is, to some people I've talked to, they're like, well, I don't know if the rushing, if the running game's as good as last year. I'm like, well, hold on.
Because A.J. Bush isn't here.
That's exactly right. And that's the other thing, is that you had a quarterback that could, although Brandon Peters.
He's not an oak tree, as Rod says.
And he showed that last. Of course, Rod said, quit looking back. You'd have made it to the end zone. But isn't it kind of funny on the rushing attack that for some, it almost feels like we don't have as good of a running attack as we did last year, when in reality, you got two guys now that can do it if you need it.
Yeah, a lot of people have this preconceived notion of Mike Epstein's gone, so oh no, this running game isn't going to be as good. But it has been really solid. They've made the plays that they've had to make to get Illinois wins. The big thing is in this game is Brandon Peters has got to run for 20 yards, just okay. Something simple, just to keep the defense a little bit honest during these read option plays where the quarterback can
four or five times.
Yeah,
where the defense just doesn't has have to look be 20 for yards. It has to be four or five times.
Yeah,
because it makes that defensive end go oh is it going to go to the running back or the quarterback? Right, it just makes you breathe a little bit. He also needs to hit Josh Madderbebe.
Yes.
Madderbebe has been one of Illinois' best targets throughout this entire year. You're talking about a guy who, when he was coming in those first couple practices and training camp, did not look all that great. He's got 25 catches for 420 yards and 7 touchdowns this year. Not many guys in the Big Ten have more touchdowns than Madderbebe, and you need to give him the ball.
Can Illinois get it done with road victories at either Michigan State or Iowa if Emore, that's not how you do it. Bebe is right. An easier way to simplify that. If he's the only target, per se. I know Danny Navarro has come along, and I know Daniel Barker has had his moments as well. But if Smalling's not there, we know Trayvon Sidney. It was announced today. You brought that up, Isaac, to me. In fact, at 5:05, we're going to talk to Jeff Schroeder from the Mettler Center about Trayvon Sidney. He literally tore his hamstring off his bone.
Ugly.
Wow.
Yeah, that does not sound fun.
So with just Bebe, if Smalling's not playing, and you got Navarro and Barker and these, are you concerned that that's enough?
I am concerned. Yeah, definitely. But again, it's just the only reason I'm concerned is not because I don't have confidence in those other guys. It's just because you're playing against really good defenses in Michigan State and Iowa. So I think you need, and they're going to game plan for this running game, and they're going to game plan for Bebe.
No
which
doubt.
Which could open the door for Daniel Barker, Donnie Navarro,
Casey Washington,
yep. Caleb Reams, guys like that to step up. So I still think this offense is good enough. We haven't seen this offense really erupt yet. And a part of that is just because the passing game hasn't clicked yet in Big Ten play. And once that passing game clicks, and you can combine that with this rushing attack that might not be as good as last year because A.J. Bush is gone, but still is very solid with Dre Brown and Reggie Corbin, then you could see this offense kind of really break out. And I don't know if they'll do that because Northwestern is just so sound defensively.
Yeah.
Iowa is really good defensively. Michigan State is good defensively. But you're going to have to make some plays. And if Illinois can get to 24, 25, 26 points, they should win this game. They should absolutely win this game.
Quick question, guys. Over under Brandon Peters touchdown passes against Michigan State.
Against Michigan State?
1.5.
I think he needs to be over. I think he needs to be 2 for Illinois to get a win.
I agree. I don't know if he gets there, though.
I'd say under, and he needs to get over if Illinois wants to win.
That's
a great way of saying it. But I'd take the under.
Yeah, right. Who's the young man that got the gruesome injury last year, the wide receiver that held on to the ball?
Edwin Carter.
Is he able to play? No.
No, he has not practiced very much at all. I mean, they were kind of taking it easy with him throughout training camp. He did a little bit, but it's pretty clear that they wanted to give him another year to get healthy.
Well, it was amazing that he was at training camp.
It was, that's what it was. But now this whole year is for him to just get back.
Yep.
Just get fully healthy, because Illinois would hate if they sent him out there prematurely and he got hurt again.
Okay, last question. We got a minute. Offensive line against a very talented, rugged, physical, big Michigan State defensive line. You each get 30 seconds. How do you think, I'll start with you, Austin, how do you think this offensive line will do against that?
I think they'll do fine. I think there's going to be a few rushing touchdowns by Illinois this game. I feel like it's not going to be a pass-centered offense, so I think it's going to do pretty well.
Okay, what do you think?
I'm really concerned.
Okay.
I just am, just because Kenny Willekes is really, really good. I mean, there is no one in the entire country that has more tackles for a loss in his career than him. He has 42.5. Big Ten defensive end of the year last year.
Mm-hmm.
And then they got guys on the inside. Raekwon Williams is really, really good. They got another defensive tackle. His name's escaping me at the moment, who's really good as well. So I think that it could be a problem for Illinois. they're going to have to play well.
Okay.
They're just going to have to. I think they'll be okay. I think I agree with Austin they'll be okay, but I'm nervous just because this defensive line, I mean, at the beginning of the year, people in college football were saying that's the best defensive line in the country outside of Alabama and Clemson.
Wow.
So that's why I'm concerned, just because they're still really, really talented.
Next up, Stephen Brooks, 24/7 Sports. He covers Michigan State. We're going to ask him what Illinois fans can expect, what the Illini can expect when they face the Spartans at Spartan Stadium on Saturday. It is the drive.
It's cutting into your exercise time. It's stabbing you in the back nine. And it's attacking your peace of mind. It's pain, and it's getting in between you and the life you want to live. CBD Medic targets your pain at its source. It's fast-acting relief with active OTC ingredients, plus the added benefits of THC-free hemp oil. Get back to your life with CBD Medic, available online and at CVS. These statements have not been evaluated by the FDA. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Napa know-how.
Right now, only at Napa, AAA members get a 20% discount. So you can avoid getting stranded on the side of the road by picking up some quality parts like batteries, brake pads, and more. Meaning you can prevent the problem before it ever becomes a problem. Bravo. That's 20% off for AAA members. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa know-how.
Napa know-how.
At participating Napa Auto Parts stores. Exclusions apply. May not be combined with other offers. Offer ends 11/30/19.
Your business is our business. From appropriate lending strategies to retirement plans for employees, UC will help navigate your financial challenges. With experience working with a variety of industries, UC has innovative ideas and proactive solutions to help meet your needs and reach your goals. For a top partner for your bottom line, call 1-800-67-BUC or visit BUC.com. BUC, your dream, our promise. Member FDIC.
What's Kasasa? It's like a big bank rewards with a community bank card. A free Kasasa checking account at Prospect Bank rewards you in ways you might not think a community bank could. But the best part is, you do not have to go to some big bank to get it. Stop in your local Prospect Bank and find out all the details. So what's Kasasa? It's like a cool word for earning cash. Member FDIC.
Prospect Bank, the opportunity bank.
The Jeremy Warner Show, weekday mornings from 9 to 11, right here on ESPN
93.5. Wow, it's Lincoln Park. These are old school songs back in the day. Austin, you got to get things updated around here, don't we? It is The Drive. Normally.
That's not my tab.
No, it's not. Yeah, I'm blaming you for nothing. You got your own show.
Yes.
But I still thought I'd blame you, just for the heck of it. I do appreciate Austin Berkland, Isaac Trotter sitting in today as Derek Piper doesn't even care about us as he's flying to Arizona to cover Illinois Grand Canyon tomorrow night. And, of course, that'll be shown locally on Channel 49. Kudos to Channel 3 for that. And then, of course, Sunday night on the Pac-12 Network, Illinois against Arizona at McHale Center. So a quick little two-game run for the Fighting Illini out in the desert. All right, it's time to hit the phone line. Stephen Brooks, 24/7 Sports, covers Michigan State. Stephen, how are you, sir? Thank you for joining us.
Good, good. No, not a problem. Always happy to hop on and see what's going on with you guys. How's everything going there your way?
Well, things are going well, believe it or not. For some reason, things are going real well, and we're all sitting there going, why are things going this well for Illinois? Although we almost blew it the other night against Nicholls State. We had to go overtime, but we got it done. So a win is a win. Stephen, I want to ask right off the bat the impact that's going to happen with your stud linebacker not being there, your center and your number one wide receiver. What is the impact for Michigan State with those three being out Saturday?
Yeah, it's critical. I mean, you said it. I mean, those are three starters, three key guys. You know, maybe one of them, they could have weathered the storm a little bit, but all three at the same time, that's going to be a real problem. I think you look at probably receiver as the biggest concern. Daryl Stewart is their leading receiver in receptions and yards, and that hasn't been an explosive position by any means this year. You lose a guy like that, yeah, it's a big deal. There's not really a ready-made replacement that's proven much to come in, so... And this is an offense, honestly, that hasn't gotten on, you know, hasn't done much of anything all year. So that's probably the biggest concern. I'd probably go linebacker after that, especially in the locker room. Joe Bocci is one of their biggest leaders, one of the best leaders, one of the best they've had in a while here. And center, you know, they've got some guys there, actually, even though the quality of play along the entire offensive line really hasn't been very good all year.
Stephen, when you look at this Michigan State team, there are so high expectations around them. There were thoughts that this offense could be different than in years past, but why hasn't this offense really clicked? Even though you have a lot of veterans at some key spots, Lewerke coming back, you have good wide receivers, a running back you guys really like, and an offensive line. Why hasn't this really clicked, though?
It still goes back to the offensive line at its core, basically. It's not even a middle-of-the-road Big Ten offensive line, and it hasn't been for 2 years now. So injuries have played a part in that, that has to be said. But whoever they've got, and they're healthy or not, it just hasn't been productive. They're not moving anybody around. The running game has been non-existent for 2 years now, at best inconsistent, but and most days it is non-existent. And then that, everything crumbles from there. They can't run the ball, so they're in third and long all the time. They don't really have explosive receivers, like I mentioned. Things have gotten, scheme-wise, it is a little different. They're a little more creative, a little more modern. But the production has remained the same in that it's been pretty terrible across the board. But I think you can circle back a lot of it to the offensive line and just not being able to move anybody, and everything else sort of trickles down from there.
Talking with Stephen Brooks, who covers Michigan State for 24/7 Sports. The Spartans are 14.5-point favorites in this game on Saturday. What in your mind is why gamblers are so optimistic on Michigan State's chances in this game?
I have no idea. I've been asking people that all week. I hope that's not a cop-out. I really wish I could tell you. People around here don't know if Michigan State can score 14 points, and I'm only half joking about that. I was stunned to see that line, to reach double digits, period, let alone 13-14 range. I honestly don't know. I mean, if you take the whole body of work into account, I guess maybe people are a little more optimistic about what Michigan State is if you look at it in a vacuum, as opposed to just these last three games. You know, they played Wisconsin, Ohio State, and Penn State back-to-back-to-back. So, you know, the mood around here is a little down, and maybe there's some recency bias for people around here, but I still can't wrap my head around it. This offense has not been consistent in any way, especially against anybody with a pulse.
If you take out Ohio State, I feel like they're just in another world, even though Penn State, I know, is fourth in that thing. But if you take them out, what has worked against this Michigan State defense? And with Illinois' ability to run the football with two pretty good backs, you know, they've got some injuries at the wide receiver. Bebe's had a really good year at wide receiver. What do you think that Illinois could possibly be able to do offensively against the Spartans Saturday?
Yeah, I still don't. It's still really tough to run on them, play in, play out. You know, you look at the numbers. Ohio State put up like 300 on them, and Wisconsin rushed for a ton. But still, there was a lot of big chunk plays in that, you know. If you're going to try and run it 30 times, it's going to be really hard, play in, play out. You might get one, you know, one or two for 15 or so, but you're going to get one or two on most attempts. And it's still a really good rush defense. We'll see how that holds up without Joe Bocci. What has been consistent over the year is that people have been able to get them with quick passes on the edge, make their corners make plays. They don't have the corners are pretty good, but they're vulnerable to some big plays here and there. They're not necessarily big either. So if you have a big receiver out there, that can be a mismatch that people have exploited. But mostly just the quick, short passing game and just sort of death by a thousand cuts type of deal. You know, really a lot of teams have replaced the running game with that quick outside hitter, the tunnel screens, the bubbles, things like that, and not even tried to run it very often, or at least their normal clip, and attack them that way. I still think that's something that teams can have success on, because they're willing to give you those short ones and assume they'll rally to the ball. But if you can break tackles, you'll be in business.
Interesting.
We're talking with Stephen Brooks from 24/7 Sports. Does a great job covering Michigan State for that website up there. But, Stephen, when you look at Kenny Willekes, after the huge, huge season he had last year, I thought everybody thought he would build off that again this year, but he hasn't had a sack in the last five games. What's the reason behind that? Is he just getting so much attention, or people running away from him, or is he always having a tight end come down to double him every time, or what?
Yeah, his numbers are very disappointing considering what he put up last year. And, you know, matching last year's numbers, you know, 20.5 tackles for loss last year, that's probably – he probably wasn't going to match that. But he's not really even close to the production. He's had a quiet year. I think he this is just my theory, but he's a step slow in a lot of plays. I wonder if he maybe put on too much weight this offseason and tried to get to sort of NFL size in terms of the scale. But he'd always been an undersized quickness type of player his whole career coming in as a walk-on. And that always played to his advantage. I wonder if after his injury, he bulked up a little too much and that affected him in terms of his big plays. He's still really, really good against the run. He'll stand up your tackle and drive him back a yard, reset the line of scrimmage and shed him and make a play that way. But he's not making those big explosive strip sacks or a crucial sack on third down. He's always been about a step slow this year, it seems like.
Steven, you know, older guys like you and I, we understand that bulking up, what it can do to you. Okay, maybe not.
Yeah, I've been bulking my whole life.
Oh, yeah, same here, right?
They weren't really a problem.
That's awesome.
Yeah, Michigan State had such high expectations going into the year, and they only have a 4-4 record. So what does the future look like for Mark D'Antonio? I mean, it just feels like that there's a lot of question marks surrounding him, whether he's going to retire, whether there might be a forcible change here. How do you view the future of the coaching position at Michigan State?
Yeah, it's super interesting, and nobody really seems to know exactly how it's going to play out. There's things you can point to, and you can sort of connect some dots, and people have said, oh, well, maybe he's retiring after this year. D'Antonio himself has not said that, but like I said, there's some clues that you can sort of maybe read into. He's not going to get fired. He's an all-time wins leader here. He's taken this program to places that they had never been, made them the class of the Big Ten sort of for a while there, and they were the only program that was competing with Urban Meyer's Ohio State at its height. So he's earned enough cachet. As long as it's not a string of multiples, sub-500 seasons, he's not going to get fired. But people here are starting to get frustrated and lose some faith, quite honestly, because they don't think he's capable or willing to do the things that seem plainly obvious and necessary to get this program back to where it is. And that's mostly taking a hard look at his offensive staff, which he didn't fire anybody off of last year, and really getting back to recruiting at a standard that was allowing them to compete for championships, because that's an area that's definitely slipped as well.
Steven, I know the guys want to talk to you a little bit about hoops, but I got to ask, what's your prediction for this game? Because it's so hard to judge this one.
It is.
You sound a little bit down on where Michigan State is. I think people around here are really optimistic about where Illinois is at, but it's also another one where you're right. Like you're going into Michigan State, a program that's
correct.
Been way better than you for the last decade. Like, where are you going on this one?
I hate doing numbers. I'll say like Michigan State by 3. And this will have to be like the last gasp though. Like science be damned. I still think there's a lot of stuff to be said for college kids and banding together. They've just been punched in the face multiple times these last few weeks. If it wasn't those 3 games, it was the bye week where they had 3 more guys transfer out, or this recent bye week where Joe Bocci gets suspended for a PED test. They've just been beaten over the head. I have to think they're going to band together and get something done somehow, even if it defies logic. So I'll say Michigan State by 3, just because I don't think it can keep raining forever, honestly.
Fair enough.
Ask a basketball question to wrap things up with you, Steven. Kentucky beat Michigan State 69-62 in the Champions Classic. What do you think Michigan State figures into this national conversation? Do you think they're still a top 4-ish team, or do you think they're a step back behind some of the blue bloods in college basketball?
No, I think they are. I think Tom Izzo put it great after the game, honestly. He said, you usually look at these young teams like a Kentucky and expect them to get better, but he says, I think we're going to get a lot better too. And I agree with him in that sense. I think you'll see this team definitely up there with capable of beating anybody by in February or March. The cornerstones are there, and you can rely on them for the most part, game in and game out, but all the role players for the most part in the bench are younger guys or just newer guys that haven't played the type of role they're being asked to play right now. So, everyone knows Cassius Winston. Most people know Xavier Tillman. Most people know Aaron Henry. But filling in all the gaps around them are a lot of first and second year guys that are just trying to find their way. And hey, number one versus number two in Madison Square Garden wasn't really the best way for them to go out. So I still expect them to be a really, really good team. But they just got to figure out some of their ancillary pieces.
Excellent stuff. Steven Brooks, can't thank you enough, sir. Thank you.
Absolutely. Hey, thanks for having me on. Take care, everybody.
All right, buddy. Stephen Brooks, 24/7 Sports. Got to catch a break. Top of the hour. We're back next hour. It is The Drive.
Golf clubs the way we do. Period.
I'm on my way to the big game. Number one versus number two in the polls. Got a tailgate spot, got the 50-yard line seats, and nothing will stop me from getting to my game. Oh, no. It's my stupid car battery. I've had this thing for a long time. I'm out in the middle of nowhere without a cell phone signal.
Don't be like this, superfan. Come into Interstate All Battery Center in Champaign. They have a free battery test. No appointment needed. If you need a new car battery, they will find the perfect battery for your car or truck. So power into Interstate.